This is a HeadGum Podcast.
All right, go ahead.
Dear Universe, thank you. Every single day we wake up and we challenge ourselves to be the best people possible, and thank you for that. Thank you, Universe, for sharing us the energy you have through light and courage.
That was beautiful, Will.
Thanks. It's from my new book.
What's it called?
Kundalunu.
Tell me about it.
Well, Kundalunu is an ancient scripture that was once written by a man known as Guru Hamasin. And the thing about Guru Hamasin is that he always speaks truly. Never once has a word been uttered from his mouth that was false. There is no such thing as a falsehood to him. When he first wrote the Kundalunu, it was 1802.
Guys, welcome to Dynamic Banter. This is the podcast where Mike Falzone and I usually talk about fucking nothing. But this time, Mike Falzone's not here. He's actually on his honeymoon.
Yeah, interesting though.
Yeah, he's on his honeymoon, and he forgot to tell me. He didn't tell me. He told everybody else, but he didn't tell me he was going on
Mike
his honeymoon.
Mike is weird as hell.
I mean, in what way?
Whenever I'm talking to him, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what do you do when you're not here? What are you doing?
You think he's got a weird life
yeah.
that we don't know about?
I honestly feel like Mike Falzone goes, like, he does his little stand-up comedy shows, and he goes to the back room and just keeps eating melatonin gummy bears.
You think he's got a vice that we don't know about?
Yeah, melatonin gummy bears.
What the fuck are melatonin gummy bears?
It's this shit you can get at Target and it makes you go to sleep.
Really?
Yeah. But they're like, oh, it's not as bad as these other drugs, but I bet you it is.
Listen, Mike Falzone is a good man.
Yeah, honestly.
He's a great man.
He's a real man.
He didn't tell me he was going on his motherfucking honeymoon. So I was texting him about some event that I'm trying to plan, and I asked him for his help. I'm just putting him on blast right now. This is what I'm doing. I'm putting him on blast. I asked him for his help on this thing, and he was like, "Yeah, dude, totally." And so I texted him about it and was like, "Hey, man, what can you help me figure this out?" And he was like, "Yeah. Listen, I'm on a plane to Mexico right now," and I was like, "You know, Mike Falzone flies." To places he flies around and does comedy shows in all around the U.S. He flies places. He flies home. He flies to Connecticut. He flies to.
Oh my god! I just realized some important shit. Okay, yeah, he flies to Connecticut.
He flies all over the fucking place. So when he said I'm flying to Mexico, it didn't really dawn on me that was his honeymoon. That's what he's doing. So
forward, yeah.
So anyway, I was just like. Dude, I need to figure out how to call this venue for this event thing, and I need some info. And he's like, when I come back on the 13th, we'll talk about it. And I was like, what did I do? What did I do to upset him?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I upset him.
I see. I feel like you did upset him, and this is his way of backlashing at you through passive-aggressive tones.
I think it was,
yeah.
But I think it was because of a lack of a communication.
Oh.
I think he thought I knew where he was, and he thought I knew he was on his fucking honeymoon, and I didn't know. So I think he figured I'm bothering him on his fucking honeymoon, which is understandable.
Yeah.
Like, the last thing you want is someone texting you about work shit while you're on a plane with your beautiful wife.
He just married Zoya.
He's living a good life right now.
Low-key, I wanted to marry Zoya.
Low-key, we all want to marry
and
Zoya.
And I think I told him that, and I don't know if I told him not to say that to her. So, but yeah.
I looked in Zoya's eyes the other day, and I said, I love you.
It's because she's real.
I said it. I just said it. And it felt more real than it had ever been with anybody. Ever.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I sat next to her at one of Mike's one of his stand-up shows, and she was just like, asking me if I wanted to get nachos and split them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you're really a good, genuine person,
oh, she's
aren't
amazing.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, so you love me.
We've talked at great length about Zoya on this show, and I think we build her up a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't think it really is enough. Like, you can't build her up enough.
Yeah.
She really is.
I think
just
that too.
An amazing person. She's a one-of-a-kind person who doesn't... We've talked about it. We've talked about this at great length. She doesn't take shit from anybody.
I'm believing...
And she'll tell you straight up if she's pissed off at you about something, and I respect that.
I love myself a mean, aggressive woman. My mom is a very mean, aggressive woman. She's the yeller of the household.
Can we give your mom a two-horn honk?
Yeah. And actually, let me give her a two-horn honk, too. Mommy... I love you. If that's just what I want her to know.
Is your mom listening? Is she a fan?
No,
of
my mom doesn't listen to anything I say. I don't think
Does
anymore.
She listen to podcasts? Do you think your mom listens to podcasts?
No.
If your mom, what subject matter would it have to be for your mom to get into
I think
a
I
podcast?
I think I'd have to be talking about the church. Maybe I should get on a church
I'm
podcast.
Talking about just in general. Like, what kind of podcast that exists? Because you know there's a podcast
for
everything.
One.
Yeah, what kind of, what subject matter would get her interested in podcasts?
The issue with her and many baby boomers is that it's too deep in the phone. My mom couldn't go that deep in the phone to get to a podcast.
It's like, you're right. It's like when someone at the top of the, when you're in the restaurant and you're in a fancier restaurant and you're like, excuse me, sir, where's the restroom? And they're like, you're going to go down those stairs. You're going to go to the left and then you're going to make an immediate right. And then it's going to look like a ballroom. You're going to go past that room. You're going to go all the way down the hall and then you're going to make a left and those are the bathrooms.
Exactly.
And there's no way in hell you're going to remember that. Ever.
No.
So you're on an adventure.
Yeah. I remember I used to not use public restrooms, and that was a part of it. Like, I don't like to be in potential situations where I can't get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I've been having this strange thing lately. I don't know if I'm getting older. I don't know if it's an anxiety thing, but I've been having a piss immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it's
like
not,
as soon as you drank something?
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, I drank something. Here, it better come out my dick.
You got a pee-pee problem.
Yeah. I got
Maybe you got diabetes.
Problems. You know, sometimes I think that because, like,
possible.
I probably exercise too much and don't eat enough. So if I got diabetes, I'm gonna be pissed.
When was the last time you got your blood work done?
You know, honestly, it's been a minute since I've had my blood work done. I'm bad at going to the doctor. Yeah. I'm afraid that he's gonna give me news.
I know, man. That's the biggest problem I have with doctors. Is like, I know I have shit. Like, I know I likely have the thing that's gonna kill me already happening in my body.
Yeah.
And I don't want to find it.
Can
I want
you?
It to be too late. I want the way that I go is like going to be one of those stories where, like, fuck, if he had just gone to the doctor,
right?
He could have gone through all those painful surgeries and he would have been bedridden for months and he would have gone all those procedures and family would have, oh man, if he had just gone through all that pain and torture, he'd be alive right
now. Yeah, I don't know. I thought I had AIDS for 22 years.
What the fuck, Will?
Okay, let me tell you why.
What the fuck?
When I was 12, I don't know. It's just a weird anxiety thing.
By the way, we're 7 minutes into this podcast, and our guest host today is William Haynes.
Oh, hey, what's up, y'all? So when I was 12, my parents sent me to like day camp. And I go home at night, but it was day camp. And all the kids...
And were you sharing needles?
No. I've never put a needle in me because I'm smart.
Yeah. I've never put a needle in me either.
Yeah. And we went
You ever gotten a thread needle and stuck it into like the part of your thumb in the corner where you can stick something through and it won't hurt? You ever done that?
And it won't hurt.
Like, there's, you know, this like corner up here on your thumb.
Oh no, I've seen people do that.
You know what
I'm
talking
about?
Yeah.
I've seen that.
There's like corners of your thumb up top, top right, top left.
Yeah.
You could just stick a needle right through it. I just thought that would look cool. I was a weird kid. Continue.
Yeah.
You went to summer camp.
I see people do that. We went to a lake. I couldn't swim. I never been to anything like this before. And I remember I wasn't gonna swim, so I just walked to the shallow part of the water, and I got a cut on my foot. And it started bleeding just a little bit.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, there are 100 kids in this water. One of them's got AIDS. I just got AIDS, too. So for years, in the back of my head, I was like, you know what? I probably got AIDS.
So you just lived with the fact, you lived comfortably with the fact that you had AIDS.
Yeah. And I was like, and it stopped. I was like, okay, that means I don't need to do any like sex having. I'm just going to focus on my shit.
You took care of some problems by having AIDS.
Yeah. And until I was 22, and then my girlfriend at the time was like, let's get an AIDS test. I was like, you're absolutely right. Or just a test in general.
Oh, and you did that.
And I did. And they were, of course, like, you're good. And then I was like, oh.
Were you scared?
Yeah, but it's so irrational. Like, and I didn't really think that, but that was just a thought in the back of my head, you know, for 22 years.
Let me ask you this question. Did they stick a cotton swab into your penis.
No. I went into a bunch of this room and like they took a bunch of different types of blood out of me and like fusion.
They didn't put anything inside.
No,
your penis,
they didn't put anything in my dick. The funny part is though, the other reason I went to the doctor that day.
I guess they only put something in your dick if there's like if you're like, man, when I pee there's like an itch.
Yeah.
Or like I've got this pungent aroma around my penis. Itch.
That would suck so much. I went to the doctor that day because I thought I had an enlarged prostate.
I mean, that could happen.
The doctor was like, you're stupid. I kept telling him, I need you to check. I was like so ready. I was like, just give me the prostate exam. But he was like, you're too young. It's not likely.
What made you think that? You had like a pressure?
I think I just always worried about the worst possible scenario.
Hypochondriac, man.
Yeah. About everything in life.
Hypochondria is real.
Yeah.
I used to have that shit all the time. I think I have everything. I still think I have everything.
Yeah, I still think I have everything, too.
It freaks me out. Like I said, I think I currently have the thing that is going to end up killing me.
Yeah.
In my body. And rather than go have the doctor look at it, I would rather just silently let it take me.
Because the doctor knows.
The doctor knows, and then you got to do all that shit. Then you got to do it. Yeah. You got to go to a hospital. You got to go into surgery and shit. I don't want to do any of that. Life sucks, Will.
I've been feeling so anxious lately, Steve.
Yeah, man. That's and it's my because life. Welcome to my life.
I honestly think it's because I haven't given myself anything to really worry about. Like I haven't been working on a project. Like I haven't. Like I finished my second mixtape. Like I'm not pushing it. I'm just going to work and then going home. And when I'm just not moving like that, it just fucking freaks me the fuck out.
You're a workaholic, man.
Yeah.
You need to, like, calm down.
Yeah.
You're too young to be, like, filling your life with nothing but work.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah. A lot of people, like, tell me, like, how do you do so much shit? It's because, like, you literally see everything I do.
Yeah.
Everything I've ever done.
I mean, I get
there.
It, man. Like, this Love. Is a fucking terrifying industry we are in currently.
I'm desperately afraid of falling behind.
Yeah, I get it. And in the YouTube world... It's a real thing. Like, it's a real thing. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Phil stop making a video ever. Like, there's not... I don't think he's ever taken a vacation.
Yeah.
Like, and when he does, he has, like, 3 or 4 videos lined up. Or he'll make a video while he's on vacation, and he puts it up. And
commitment,
I think that's...
man.
It's just, yeah, I mean, you got a business. What you're making is a business. And I get not wanting to stop. And you know, I mean, look, I'm always busy, but like I could be busier.
Yeah.
But I think I'd go fucking insane if I tried to get even busier.
I really want to do this. Like
I get it, man.
I love doing whatever it is that we do. I love it.
That's how you succeed.
And
you really love it.
Yeah, I really do. It's just like I would love it more if I like stepped away from it and didn't do it for a while.
So what happened with you and Darren?
You're the fucking best. Oh,
welcome
God.
To Ear Biscuits.
You're the fucking best, Steve.
What happened? Let me ask you something.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Can you retain information very well?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not very good at it. So, because I was talking about finding the bathroom.
Yeah.
And how the person's like, go to the left, the right, and then go all the way down.
Oh, you mean retain information like that? Yeah.
Like short instructions.
Yeah.
Like, in the world before GPS, like, which I did actually have a car. I drove around in the world before there were GPS machines, or at least before there were the affordable ones. And I had fucking straight up MapQuest printouts in my fucking car. I had 3 motherfucking printed sheets of paper.
Oh, yeah.
And the third page had a fucking... Priceline ad on the fucking, and that's all it was.
You had to really like print that shit out off Google Maps.
You had to go to Google Maps. Not even Google Maps. You had to go to MapQuest.
Yeah,
and you had to type in where you're going and where you're coming from.
Yeah,
and then you would print that out, and then you would hope to fuck you didn't fuck something up.
Why did you bring this up?
Because I was thinking about how like when someone says. Because you compared your mom not wanting to go to listen to podcasts to the reason you said the reason why she wouldn't is because it's too many steps for her to get to the podcast app.
Yeah.
And then from there, you still have to find a fucking podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking about and comparing that to like when someone says the bathroom is down here and shit. And I was just thinking, Is it just me? Or is it like when I'm like, excuse me, sir, in the rare instance when I see someone on the side of the road and I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm in another part of the world I've never been to or something.
Yeah.
On the rare occasion, I ask someone, do you know where the Civic Auditorium is or something? And they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going to want to go like about half a mile on Fifth. Then you're going to take a left on Seaward, and then a right on McHutchins, and then get on the freeway, and then get off about half mile onto Brebbery.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I think it was I was 16, I had to go to this party. I was so excited because this is of the five parties I went to in high school, and my dad was going to drive me and my friend Martin, and I had to write out the directions off of Google Maps.
Sure.
And I remember I just wrote, and then right, and then left, and then right, and then left. And I didn't write where to go right and left. And so we got in the car, and we pulled out he was like, I wrote the first one.
You didn't write any other information other than the direction to turn in.
Yeah, not when you turn, not when you do it. And, like, that's when you have kids. And it's like, ugh. My dad should have been like, he's like, but you have to, you're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I would be so upset, but like, whatever. Okay.
I mean, what do you do? Like, nowadays, there's no worry. There's nothing to worry about because we have our phones and everybody else has a phone. And if you don't have access to a phone, you can get someone else's phone. There is every possible way in the world for you to get back on track because of technology. But back in the day, like, you had to just trust your friend was going to be at this place to pick you up at 5 o'clock p.m., and you just had to trust that they were going to be there. There was no way for you to call and say, what's your ETA? You know, text, are you almost here? You just had to trust someone's word that they were going to fucking be there on time.
And if something goes wrong, I feel like that's kind of fucked up movies, because now it's like, why don't you just call?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just text? Because the plot to most things in life is if it's something's wrong, it's because there's no communication.
Yeah.
And like,
so, like, it's old movies have that problem. Yeah.
They're usually like, oh, well, we can't get to Jansen.
Dude, I just watched this classic film called Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Have you heard of this movie?
I heard of one. I think the sequel was Whatever Happened to Sarah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. You don't remember the sequel?
Listen, there's this new show that came out, and it's called Feud.
Uh-huh.
And it's from the guys that did American Horror Story, and it stars Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon. And it's about the feud that Betty Davis and Joan Crawford actually had in real life while they were making the film Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. So this show is amazing. I've only seen the first episode. Bree and I watched it, and it was amazing. But while we were watching it, they're talking about making the movie Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And so Bree was like, have you ever seen this movie? And I was like, no, I've never seen this movie. And she's like, we need to watch Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. So we watched it last night. And while I was watching it, I realized that that movie wouldn't exist. That whole plot wouldn't work if there were just cell phones.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the cure to most things.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of funny because I feel like humans are getting better and better at communication as time goes on.
Yes.
Like, now we can really communicate with people in Japan if we wanted to. Right now you could talk to somebody over there. And back in the day, if you wanted the perspective of someone on the other side of the world, you just couldn't get it.
Yeah.
And it's strange because it's also done bad for us, because now we've huddled back into our own little forms of communication. This is where I communicate with people that only think like me.
Right.
Through the internet.
Right.
And it's great that we can communicate, but it's also shown us, it's given voices to the different subgroups that we want to speak
it's
to.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. Communication is key, though. So, like, if we couldn't talk to each other, when we can't speak to each other, there's issues.
I think we just need to put more faith in the smarter people and the people who are intelligent enough to spread the right information.
Intelligent enough to spread the right information. Yeah. Ooh, and it's also subjective in life. That's the thing. It's like, from my perspective, this is good. And I know what mine is. I know how I was brought up. And I know what my definition of good is.
Yeah.
And someone else's definition of good is different.
Yeah.
And it kills me. I can't sleep at night.
Owen and I were talking about this just before he went to work today. We were talking about how regionally, depending on where the fuck you were born in the world, you're going to believe in one thing, basically, or you're going to be taught one thing, more or less, generally. This is a generalization. A lot of people are taught different things in different places. But depending on where you're born, you might think a certain way. You might believe in certain things. And forever, you'll just think that's right.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Because we think we're right. I think I'm right.
I think I'm right all the time.
My philosophy is be nice to people. Be respectful to people. And that's it. Make people laugh. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That's it. And I think that's right. But there's people who are like, no, no, no. Because that's how you get taken advantage of. And that's like the pussy way to do it.
Yeah.
Or someone else would be like, well, you got to let God into your life. Uh-huh. Or, oh, well, but politics. And there's all these other, there's just, there's this overpopulation of people that all think different things.
Yeah.
And nobody knows who's right.
I think to me, what I've learned is I got to know what I know. And surround myself with people who know what they know.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really solve the problem. It just keeps you surrounded by people who think the way you do. And then you get things like the KKK.
The KKK, yeah. The KKK. No, but I was talking to a friend of mine recently about how, like, the KKK people are terrible. They do terrible things. But what I respect them for is the fact that they admit that they're racist. I'm like, thank you so much.
Wow, that's great.
For just keeping it real. Because so many people are like, I'm not racist. I'm not racist. What does that even mean? What is a racist? They're like, yeah, we don't like black people. Yeah. So, like, thank you for that honesty. It's like, y'all can't say they're not they're liars. I mean, I'm sure they lie about a bunch of
shit. I hate that, like, I don't like it that you can just look at someone and then just be like, that person looks different, so I'm gonna not be their friend, and they're inferior to me.
It's I don't know. I think about I've been thinking too much about insane people lately. It's killing me. I keep trying to understand and rationalize it. But like, you know, some people are different. I don't know. It seems to come that they were raised that way, and their parents taught them to believe such negative things.
What do you find funny these days, Will?
Oh, God, I don't even laugh, man. Dude, you and Falzone, honestly, are the only people that be making me laugh and shit.
I get it, man.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't know.
These are dark times.
Yeah, it's so dark right now.
Yeah.
It's so dark right now. It kills me.
I was just talking to a friend of mine who I miss making videos with, and we were talking about how we need to make funny videos together because life is not funny right now.
Life
and
is
she
not
was
funny.
Like, nothing's funny. We need to, like, make shit funny. We need to, like, keep making funny shit.
You're right, and I want to make some funny shit. I haven't felt like being funny until recently. Like, I went through a while where I think I was going through a dark time, and I was like, these are the ways that I need to express that. But I actually do feel like being funny these days.
Yeah?
Yeah, because people, you're right, people do need a laugh.
You're going through all these goddamn phases, Will, and it's terrifying me because you're, like, a rapper now.
Yeah.
And you're, like, but you also still are a comedian.
I didn't slow up down
video
at that
creator.
One bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it
hard to take yourself seriously making rap music, or do you
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, that's my problem. Like, I could never make serious music because I'm too critical of my own stuff. And I would be like, no matter what I would try to do that would be serious, I'd just be like, oh, this is just dumb and not good and not funny. Like, it's all about funny.
When I first started making music, I was actually doing a character called Fraser Kennedy. I was making a fake rap persona. It was a video, we were making, John and I. And I was going to act like a rapper. And we went to the studio and I was like, we went in the studio and I was like doing all this fake rapper shit. And then that guy ended up, I recorded my first mixtape in that studio. But I just kept trying to write comedy rap music and I couldn't do it. I just kept writing how I really felt.
Hmm.
And that's what, like, I don't know. That's why I haven't had a hard time taking myself seriously, because whatever, I just really write how I feel.
I do have a respect for that. Like, I respect people who are able to write what they feel and it comes out genuinely, genuinely heartfelt and serious.
Yeah.
I have a respect for that. Like, Bree is a poet. Bree writes beautiful poetry and she's, like, very good at it. And I've read a lot of her poems and they're great. But I'm like, I could never do that. I could never write a fucking poem.
Really?
Yeah, because it would just end up having a fucking fart joke in it.
Yeah, that's you.
Or suddenly it would be like, I would be talking about, like, anxiety or something that actually affects me or something. And then I'd say, like, and anxiety to me is like pussy, 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 pussy,
pussy,
pussy,
pussy.
You know, I can't do it. I can't not add a weird, dumb joke in it. Because I don't want to be serious. There's a time and a place to be serious, I think. And for me, I just couldn't, like, in school I couldn't handle when things were serious. In at work I can't handle when things are serious. It's just boring and uncomfortable, and nothing ever good comes from it, in my opinion. That's sort of closed-minded, but, you know.
Everything changed for me around June, July, August last year. And before that, I used to have the same issue, where whenever people would start talking about serious shit, I would just laugh, and I couldn't control it.
Yeah.
I've kind of, since then, I feel like I've taken control of my body, so that's not something that affects me anymore. But I know exactly what you mean, because I know we would always be in these situations at work, and we just couldn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I agree. I really think you can make music, though. Literally, the only person holding you back is yourself.
Yeah, I know. And I know that. I just... Yeah.
And that's not even cliche. That's just true.
It's true. Yeah. I just think the want in me to make serious stuff has not happened yet. Maybe as I get older, it'll happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's never too late. Like, I was just watching that Johnny Cash Hurt video last night. You know,
that's
when he's
the saddest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah. He's dying.
He's like definitely dying.
He's dying in that
video.
Yeah. And that's why it's so incredible. And it's like wet. When I call songs that I like wet, it's like wet with emotion. Cause he's on his way out. And that's, I think that's my dream. I desperately want to be an old man doing this. Like, if you think about Bernie Sanders, strip him of all politics. Strip him of all politics.
Yeah.
Pretend he agrees with you. I was just like, he's really like an old ass man still trying to do this.
Yeah.
He really ran for president that old, and he knew people were going to say he was old, and he really yelled at the top of his lungs.
And he's still out there right now. He lost.
Still.
And he's still fucking pushing. Yeah.
It's
very respectful.
My dream is to be an old man like that. And I just, with all my might, I hope that people allow me to do that. I hope people allow me to keep going.
I think you'll be able to do it. I mean, look, you are in control of that, I feel like. And, you know, I don't think anybody can stop you from doing that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think I realized that was my goal. I've been feeling really goalless lately, and I think that's what's been giving me anxiety.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the old Will and Steve shows we used to do live on my YouTube channel.
Oh boy, you're talking about back then.
Back in the
condo days.
Condo days.
Oh god, that was probably those were dark times.
If I made an album, it would be called Condo Days. If I was making like a serious album, it would be called Condo
Days. I was thinking my new mixtape, The Rise, I was like, I should have called it Woodland Hills.
Oh yeah. A lot of shit happened in Woodland Hills.
A lot of shit happened in Woodland Hills.
So let's talk about this fucking Will and Steve's half hour comedy hour. The half hour midnight comedy hour.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck it's called. Why did we do that? Because we were bored and we needed a because I was in a weird place.
You were in a weird place. I don't remember why. That was one of the saddest people. Oh, just remembered. Ooh, great. Gonna keep that to myself.
Okay.
I was really sad.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, let's be honest, you don't like being alone.
Yeah, I do not like being alone.
I do like being alone. But I just, at that moment, you just were like calling on me to be with you. And I was like, that's what I feel like I need to do.
Yeah.
2014, right? Yeah.
I believe it was 2014, maybe the end of 2014 or something. Yeah. Yeah, were dark times for me. I was in a dark place.
Yeah, and I felt, and someone was asking me about that recently, and I was just like talking to him, and I realized that I know all of it. Mm-hmm. I was like, once again, I thank you and Owen so much for being around me at like 20 years old, because like I have the perspective of 30 year olds.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
I feel too old.
I think we gave you a lot of knowledge, but I think we also, Owen and I are a rare breed.
Oh, yes,
we're
I know.
Very strange birds. We're very like. Not typical guys. We're like just weird and hermit-esque, and we love movies and
I legitimately love you guys. I hope you know that.
Thanks, man.
For the rest of my life, like I hope that I can always come see you guys.
Yeah, Owen's like, I don't know what the fuck would happen to Owen if I died. Let's be honest about that. Because Owen is like very dependent on the connective tissue of my life for all the other things in his life.
He's down for you. I wish I had Owen. Oh my God.
I mean, he's a very loyal, good friend. Yeah. and we get each other on a weird molecular level. But and on a level that no one else gets,
sadly,
gets us.
He kind of, I mean, like, it puts it on you. It's like, you got to do it. It's just, I think you have, like, if you look at it from the perspective of no matter what you do, like, Owen's going to help you do it.
And, yeah.
Like, so just do it.
Owen's like, the scene in Empire Strikes Back when Yoda's in Luke's backpack and he's running around and he's kind of training Luke. But and Owen's the Yoda in the backpack, and I'm the one running around doing the Force and stuff. But he's not teaching me anything. Yeah. He's just in that backpack. Yeah. And every once in a while, he'll say a really funny thing, or he'll edit a video for me, and then I'll be like, "That's cool. That helped me move this rock. Thanks, man."
Wait, I mean, spend some time apart, and you'd probably get a different perspective on it.
Owen's like a less caring Yoda.
It's because y'all are on the same level. Like Yoda has like 200 years. Y'all both are like the same level.
And Owen is like the oldest 30-year-old I've ever met in my life.
He really is.
Like the shit he says blows my mind. About, he's like, he's got some grandpa ass get off my lawn shit.
Yeah, he's old man pissed.
Yeah,
to be this young, but I love him. Our shows though really were great, and what we used to do, I think, is because we were going through such depressive times. We just really we freeform expressed it. And ironically, I think a lot of people like they related somehow, even though we were feeling as shitty as humanely possible. We just went out there and said, like, you know, expressed anything.
I think we, for me personally, my personal life was spilling out onto the internet. While I was going through some pretty terrible personal stuff. And while that was happening,
people don't know what it's like to look down into a video you made about something completely different,
and then suddenly all the comments. I mean, look, dude, the thing is like, I'm not asking for any pity, or I'm not asking for people to feel sorry or bad for me about it, because this is the life I chose, the like entertainment life, and being an entertainer and being on camera.
It's, it's definitely
and this
part
all
of it.
Comes with that. And when people are like, "I can't believe all my dirty laundry is out," it's like, this is part of the package. It really just is.
Love
and especially
is real.
If I was going to have, you know, my ex in videos and shit, and especially if you're of a couple that like makes videos together and builds an entire channel around a couple, you know, I mean, I've seen it happen. I've seen like marriages and relationships that are that use that as the way to propel a YouTube business literally fall and crumble and fall apart because relationships are flawed and they sometimes don't last.
Interesting.
But for me, I think it was like during the time when we were starting to do the like live shows, it was like there was this intense sadness and pain and all this terrible shit happening in my head. But there was also the need to make people laugh and entertain people and laugh myself and, you know, push away all the bad stuff so that I could laugh. And you and I had this weird dynamic where we would just make each other laugh saying the dumbest shit. And
watching the dumbest movies.
And it's like we and watching the dumbest movies and playing dumb video games and TV shows like Wonder Showzen and shit.
Oh, God. You showed me the worst shit during those times.
Dude. That's like so underground shit.
Yeah. I'm so thankful.
I'm glad you. I'm glad I got to show you that stuff because I feel like that's important. I was almost like – I almost – was taking you under my comedy wing a little bit.
Because I think about it like, people don't know I used to be a quiet person. Until I met you. Like, if you go back home to all the people in Richmond, they're all like, Will is a, was a quiet person. But now I go in rooms just like yelling sometimes.
Yeah, but dude, you had this, you and you still do have this kind of natural, I don't give a fuck kind of attitude that I like didn't that you always just had like even as a quiet Will, even as your shy quiet Will that that I remember first meeting, you still had this like fearless, I'm gonna say something out loud in this room full of people and I don't care what anybody says, or I'm gonna literally go over to that stranger and just start talking to them. And to me, it's like, even for me, it takes a little bit of like pumping up in my head to do it. And for you, it just seemed like you like you literally don't care about the consequences and you just fucking go for it.
Yeah, I feel like honestly, like, I don't know. Sometimes you just gotta say how you feel.
Yeah.
And I that's why like I admire and I feel and I've been upset with him lately, but I admire Kanye. Have you seen those clips of him where he just went on TV and said whatever?
No. Sometimes I mean, was this a while back?
Yeah, like when he was like during the Hurricane Katrina.
Isn't he like not okay right now?
Yeah, he's probably not okay. But what I admired about him is the fact that who cares what he said? He felt it and he took a public a publicly viewed thing to express how he felt.
Right.
Like I felt like I kind of do that sometimes. Like when I met Trump and I told him how I really felt. Like just sometimes when you have the opportunity to say how you feel, you should take it.
What was that like meeting Trump, man?
Crazy. Honestly.
Do you think about it still?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. Like it's weird to say because, like, you know, Trump is obviously the type of person he is, but he helped me a lot in my life because I had never been encountered by, like, in anime terms, that was the big boss. Like, Trump is the big bad guy.
But at the time, was he? At the time? Yeah, at the time, was. I feel like he was the big, he was definitely a boss.
Yeah. He wasn't the biggest boss.
Like in a video game, like he's not the big, he wasn't the biggest boss at the time, but he was definitely one of the main level bosses.
Yeah.
And like he was terrifying and scary.
Yeah.
But like I remember having this overwhelming feeling of there's no way this guy's
going to be. Yeah, I was like that too.
This guy's going
to maybe
be
that's why I said what I said to him. Like, but to me at that moment when I said to him, "What's your biggest issue with minorities right now?" I learned that you could say whatever the fuck you want to anybody. And I haven't worried about it since. And I'm thankful to him for that. But
that experience must have been,
it changed my life. Yeah,
fucking crazy.
Yeah.
All right, we got to do a quick ad read really quick. And Will, feel free to chime in if you want, but
is this mine?
Yeah, that's yours, baby.
Love
drink
is real
it.
And thank you for reminding me that
love
tonight.
Is real, man. I swear to it. Let's talk a little bit about Harry's Razors, today's sponsor. Excuse me, let me clear my throat here. Let me tell you guys a little bit about my experience with Harry's Razors. I got a box. Mike Falzone brought me a box of Harry's Razors, and I use them daily to shave the disgusting hair around my neck.
I was about to say, you look good.
Thanks,
right now.
Thanks, man. It's because I'm using these Harry's Razors on my neck, and so I have no neck beard, and I can't be called a neck beard on the internet.
Like, it legitimately looks good. That's a good
thanks,
beard,
man.
Steve.
Thank you. It really is. It's half... partially genetics, but mostly Harry's Razors.
Wow.
And
it's trimmed right.
I love it, dude. I love, in fact, I really do feel like personally Harry's has been the best shave I've had with a razor. I don't shave much because I got my full beard going, but I do shave around the old problem areas.
Yeah.
And I shave on my cheeks. And sometimes I'll shave the soul patch because I just, my soul patch doesn't connect to the rest of my beard. And so I just have this lonely island of hair under my lip, and God knows what isolated, sad creatures are living there, not enjoying the splendor that is the rest of my beard. And so sometimes I'll just shave the whole thing off because I feel real bad for it.
I love you, man.
Will, have you used Harry's razors at all?
I don't think I have.
Well, I'll tell you, I do love many things about the razors. Okay. I love how comfortable and smooth the shave experience is.
Okay.
I've never gotten like a nick or a cut using their razors.
Okay, yeah, I've been getting nicked.
That's
and cut
some important
on my stuff.
Okay,
yeah. Maybe I need to make a transition.
I've used a lot of other goddamn garbage blades on my face, and I gotta tell you what, it does not compare to the Harry's experience. And a little bit of background on Harry's, it was started by two guys, Jeff and Andy, who were just fed up with being overcharged for razors. So they decided to start their own razor company to give guys everywhere what they deserve, a great shave at a fair price, guys. And I'll tell you what, they've been making those blades. There was a they bought a factory that for 100 years of blade making experience under their belt, so they can make their own high quality razors. That's some awesome stuff. And I'll tell you what, Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. The 5 German engineered blades, the lubricating strip, it feels so good on your skins. The flex hinge for a comfortable glide, the trimmer blade for those hard-to-reach places, and the weighted ergonomic handle. And guys, guess what? You ready for the bucks? Here we go. All of this for $2 a blade. That's right, $2, all right? Compared to the $4 or more you will pay at the drugstore. And I'll tell you what, those drugstore razor-buying experiences are a bunch of horse trash. So here's the thing, guys. Harry's is so confident in their quality of their blades and their razors, they want you to try their most popular trial set absolutely free. And I believe that's the set I got that has all the little samplers in it. And I absolutely love it. It comes with a razor handle of your choice, a 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel, which feels also nice and smells good, too. And that's free when you sign up, guys. You just pay a small fee for shipping. No big deal. So, guys, to redeem your free trial offer, go to harrys.com/banter right now. That's harrys.com/banter and get yourself a good shave. Get yourself the shave you deserve.
The shave you deserve. All right. I'm feeling it.
So,
I love you.
Okay. I love you, too, Will.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a warm person.
You and I have made it through some tough times, yeah, man.
I've been mad at you before.
Yeah, I've been mad at you too.
Yeah, that's how I know I love you, is because I've been mad at you.
Well, you gotta be mad. Like, you know, there's no such thing as a friendship or a relationship that doesn't have some sort of conflict at some point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm a fucking weird man, baby, that has weird shit in my life. And you know, that's not always gonna work with everybody.
Yeah.
And you're like a 9-year-old boy, basically, forever. And you're never going to grow up.
I feel like I'm somewhere between 9 and 109.
You're on the younger end of 9.
The younger end of
forever.
Nine. I don't even remember.
You're always
going
to be a young boy, Will. How do you feel about that? You're like a 22-year-old guy now?
I'm 23 now.
You're 23?
Yeah.
You will always look like a 12-year-old.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know. I like it, though.
Yeah.
I'm interested in becoming older.
Don't do that.
I was about 15 years old when I first found an enema. I don't even know what an enema is.
Really?
Yeah. What is that?
An enema is a multi-use item. Some people...
Oh, you put it up your ass to clean out up in there. Okay.
Well, sometimes there's also a douche...
Low-key, I want to see what that feels like, but no thank you.
I mean, I have a bidet, which is kind of like the low-key version of that a little bit. It's not as intrusive as a enema.
I don't think you respect me. Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? I don't think you respect me. I don't think you know who I am. You don't ponder on the love we've had for several years like I do.
I don't need you to promote your rap album on my podcast.
Please get The Rise for free on SoundCloud, on Spotify. What sucks is other people have the same name as both of my mixtapes. Other more popular rappers have projects of the same name.
Sure. Oh, so, do they really?
Yeah.
Because it's impossible. Everything has been used already.
Yeah, everything has been. Like,
pretty much.
I want to. That is truly my life's mission, though. My dad used to always say that when I was a kid, that every idea has been done before.
Yeah.
I want to find the one that's not. There's something new out there in the universe, and I want to find it.
Maybe there's something new, but I think it's more of like the combination of things has not been done. Like, you know, like no one has really ever wanted to go. No one has asked for a tree bark sandwich at a restaurant.
What is a tree bark sandwich?
Literally what you think it is.
A tree bark sandwich. Okay.
A sandwich with tree bark in it. No one has ever gone to a Red Lobster and said, "Do you guys have tree bark sandwich?" No one. Okay. I guarantee no one's asked.
Maybe by accident. Maybe. There was something on the menu that looked like the word tree bark.
Maybe.
And they just accidentally said tree bark, and the waitress laughed and all the kids laughed.
Do you think someone's ever gone to McDonald's and asked for all of their mayonnaise?
Yes. I think McDonald's has had everything that can happen to it. McDonald's is like that. I'm not even going to go there.
What do you think is the weirdest thing someone's been asked for at McDonald's?
Something super personal. It's some guy works at McDonald's and he's really in
like
love.
Do you have my baby blanket in there?
No.
I lost it when I was a baby. Do you have it back there?
Do you have my baby blanket?
Can you imagine going into McDonald's? Yeah, let me get that Big Mac, and I guess I'll get a soft drink too. Do you have my baby blanket
back
there?
By the way, baby blanket is such a good term because like a lot of people have baby blankets.
Did you have a baby blanket?
Hell yeah, I had a baby blanket.
Does your mom still have it?
I'm sure she do. She has all my baby boots too.
She has your baby boots?
Yeah, I have a lot of baby boots. You remember I used to have a tail? Did you ever see me with a tail?
Oh yeah, you did have a tail.
My tail is inside one of my baby boots.
Is that weird, you think?
Yes, that's what fucked me up.
You know, it's weird. I don't know if parents do this anymore. But what? I guess if they did it for you, that was only like 12 years ago, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the 90s. My dad still has a tail. But yeah, I think it fucked me up though, because like if I had literally a braid in the back of my head, the rest of my hair was cut and I had a braid, so like anywhere I go, people would just be like, "Why do you have a tail?"
Did they grow that from when you were a boy? When you were born? Or
I don't remember
they...
not having it until I cut
so
it
they
off.
So they must have just said like, "We're gonna grow him a little tail."
A little tail. Never took care of it. It was always kind of gross.
So you were like a Padawan. You were like a Jedi.
That's what people would say. I was a Jedi. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I'll take it. I'll be a Luke Skywalker.
There's a little bit of my baby hair in a baby book of mine at my mom's place. Isn't that weird?
Nah, we'll use it in the future.
Like for what?
I don't know. We'll find a reason.
You know what, man? What if one day scientists are like, "We figured it out. We've cracked the code to how." For how to get rid of individual genetic defects. And it'll only work if you have hair from when you were a baby. We can remove proteins from that and use it to repair your body.
That could happen. I think you just did the most. You just said the most optimistic thing.
Yeah,
that can help you get solve that disease you think you don't have.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the only way to cure the real bad disease I currently have.
Wow, I love you.
I love you too, Will.
Something I learned tonight since I've been in your house is that I think love is the most important thing.
It is.
I think all my fear in life comes from me thinking that love will be inaccessible to me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and also when we spoke a couple minutes ago about something that hasn't been created before, I think what that is going to take is understanding what it means to be human. And then I also thought, is
empathy.
Is that what it is?
Empathy, man.
Love and all that shit.
In fact, there was an episode of Legion. Are you watching Legion?
No, I don't know.
You need to watch
that.
Legion. It's real good. It's like an X-Men show, basically, but it's like one of the best superhero things I've ever seen. And I talk about empathy a lot because empathy is a very important thing. It's a very important human trait. Without empathy, I feel you can't really, it's very,
holy shit.
It's hard to be a good person. It's hard to be a good person. It's hard to feel emotions for your fellow human without empathy. And so I was watching this episode of Legion, I think it was the fourth episode, and it opens with this whole monologue about empathy and fear.
Empathy and fear, yeah.
And how that's what, like, the human mind boils down to. Empathy and fear.
And it was so brilliant.
It was, yeah,
okay,
you can.
Okay, you gotta send me that.
It's real good. You should watch it. But
I don't even watch the show. I feel like I've heard people speak about it.
It's really, really good. It's typical. There's a lot of typical superhero shit going on. And when you strip away all the creativity and the cool costumes and the and the very trippy visual effects, it really is kind of like a superhero guy doesn't know what his powers are and he doesn't know he's a superhero. It's like a superhero origin story, basically, which we've seen a million of, but they're doing it in such a fun, creative, different way that it makes it so exciting and fun. But anyway, back to the love thing.
Yeah.
I think love is a very, very important thing, but not just love in the sense of being in love. As in loving other people and loving yourself.
Yes, yes.
If you don't love yourself, then you're never going to fall in love with anybody.
You're so right. And I think I'm afraid of loving myself because I feel like this is some super personal shit to say, but, like, you know, I've accomplished a lot of things in my life, and it's hard for me to say that for being a young person. And I'm afraid that if I love myself, I will go too far. And I will think that I'm afraid that I'll become like those people we see here not every day, we see around here in LA who love themselves too much.
Oh, and they're a little too up their own ass.
And I just think that's just, to me, that's evil.
They think they're God's gift to the world.
To the world,
stuff like
that. And I think that kills me. Entitlement. And I think that's what's standing in the way for me. I think I simply just need to love myself.
I think entitlement and kind of the responsibility that comes with any type of power, whether it's like power over an audience or power over a company or power over a state or a country.
Yeah.
I think that power brings a lot of things that a lot of people aren't ready for.
Yeah.
And there's all the varying degrees of power. Being a parent is having power. Being in a subservient relationship, you have power.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways where we can have power over people, and it's dangerous. It's very dangerous because it makes you feel like a god, essentially. And
for some people.
In fact, I've read many kind of stories about some YouTubers that even would straight up say in private to friends that they feel like they're God.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know, and it's and really believing that. Yeah. And the whole Kanye thing of like, I'm Jesus, Jesus, I'm God, I'm a deity, you know? And it's like, people are like, this is God.
And it's different for like Kanye, who like, you know, he literally walks out his house and people are taking photos of him. But like, you make videos, bitch. Yeah, I mean, it's not acceptable in either way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think celebrities are gods in a way. They're like the Greek gods, you know.
I see what you mean.
In some metaphorically. Ways, metaphorically, in some way, they're gods.
I see why you feel that way.
Yeah. But like, you know.
But you're not. No one's.
I mean, we're still humans.
The way
we're
that
still
I look at it,
all blood and flesh and organs, every single one of us.
When I was a kid, I was obsessed with sitcoms. And I think the way that I look at it is I am a sitcom character. And I think that's why it's what we were talking about, like when you make a video about something completely different and all the comments are about your personal life. It's funny because, like, to me, I feel like, and I don't respond to a lot of answer people's questions because I feel like you shouldn't be able to talk to my character, yeah. who is still me and is an honest version of me. And I think that's what helps me is because I know that's not, you don't like me. You like Barney Stinson. You like Jerry Seinfeld's character. It's like, yeah, it's still me and it's still honestly me. But I think they don't have that separation. They're like, this video is me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a problem when you're talking directly to the camera. Yeah.
And you're
addressing an audience and you're conveying that kind of familiarity of being friends with all of these people and you're kind of giving everyone, you know, a heightened I'm perfect version of myself.
Yeah.
And
your best version.
You're only showing everyone your best, who you are at your best. I guess there are some people who, like, you know, pour out their heart and say, this is what I'm going through. And, talk a lot about my anxiety, and I talked about my divorce way back in the day, and I talked to people about it. But I think it's important to kind of, like, you know, just be aware of if you want to be a YouTuber or a celebrity or whatever, if that's something you want, just be aware that, you know, it's very easy to get caught in you know the world of being someone you're not, and then there can be problems,
and it's hard that. Because like I feel like I've tried to be something that I'm not, but in a way to try to get myself to grow. Like me making music and doing all this other stuff that at the time wasn't me, but I wanted it to be me desperately. So like you can use that in a way to like grow yourself, but what the thing that people do wrong is they start acting like it. And acting like it doesn't work. You have to really do it. And that's what I think a lot of people don't realize. That we're not acting like this. We are really doing it.
Is there a phase of yours that you favor over the others, and not including the one you're currently doing?
Actually, honestly, this one I'm not really feeling. I'd say in the summer, summer me, when I was wearing the jumpsuit, I missed that version of myself. It was just like, honestly, I was going through a lot of shit and I was sad, but I was at it. Like I was not resting. I was tired as fuck, but I kept going. And that was me at my best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to the void?
The void. Oh yeah. I used to be so depressed.
Do you ever think about the void still?
No, I don't. I don't
think about the void. When was the last time you thought about the void?
I haven't. Maybe I should check back in. Yeah. Nothingness. Nothingness is okay.
Yeah.
I think I have an issue with nothingness now because I like something happened back in June, July, August, and like I bubbled up and I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I started moving forward, I think I should become okay with nothingness.
Yeah.
The void.
Going into the void, man. That was good times.
Yeah. I used to not be afraid to go deep into my brain. Yeah. I felt like there was nowhere in my brain that was negative to me.
Well, have you tried meditation and stuff like that?
I have been trying lately, and I can't. I feel like I need people with me to do it.
I can't really do it either. There's too much going on in my head. I can't really like stop.
You know when we like are just joking around and doing like Tibetan throat singing? Yeah. And, like, it's like really a form of meditation.
Yeah.
It's like
this fucking thing is. Yeah, is also part of
The Tibetan singing bowl that you have here, perfect.
Yeah,
I have one of those too, and that helps me a lot. But like, I feel like I really wish I can go into a room and Tibetan throat sing with like 8 other dudes
and just do it.
Yeah, that's very therapeutic for me.
Yeah,
you know what? That's what I was doing back in those days. Is like, so I was living in my house. Not everybody in my house was speaking to me. I still had the urge to speak to people, so I started Tibetan throat singing. So it was like my own my mantra, and it like really cleaned out my body.
That's cool.
Ooh, so that is okay.
That's where that comes from?
Yeah, because I couldn't do it at first, but now I can do it.
Well, Will, we're coming down to the wire on the show here, but...
Falzon's going to shoot my ass.
Falzon's going to... Mike's not going to like this episode.
Why?
I'm just kidding. We do a thing on the show called History Road, and it's basically a... it's a way for us to read stories that the audience either make up or is real stories from their life. And we read them on the podcast, and Owen created a theme song for it that I'm going to play right now. Sorry for blowing out your eardrums.
History. History.
You didn't even have your fucking headphones in. You didn't hear it.
Uh-uh.
What'd you think about that song?
Oh.
Oh, you heard it. Yeah. You could hear it outside of the headphones?
Yeah. Yeah, my senses are sharp, yeah, motherfucker.
Did you know we're listening to shit wrong? We're like, if you're listening to the volume of your music too loud, you're destroying the fuck out of your ears.
Oh, you got it.
I just read this Reddit post about how, oh my God, we are really destroying our ears. Mm-hmm. Like, we actually are. Mm-hmm. Like, some people go to a concert,
no,
and then their ears are never the same after that. Yeah. Some people hear a constant ringing in their ears.
What?
Because of that.
Oh, God, yeah.
Dude, I'm terrified.
I can't, like, I've only been to, like, one real concert, and it was a Drake concert, and I don't know why.
Was it too loud?
And you know I love Drake, but I was just like, ooh, I can't be around people jumping and yelling. I was like, I gotta be on stage, and y'all could watch me jump up there by myself.
Yeah.
I can't, like, it's too loud. I don't know why that's, like, fun. Like, why do y'all want to own mosh pits? You know mosh pits?
Oh, yeah, I know, like, mosh pits. Like, I don't want anything to do with it.
I don't want anything to do with that.
I get that there's people that want to lash out and they want to just fucking get in there and just get bloody and punch and throw punches and shit. I'm not one of those guys.
I'm not one of those either. Actually, though, I've always been like that. But so we were filming this. We were filming a deep dive in Hollywood. And so they saw us with these cameras, and there's these two dudes. And one of them was like, hey. And I was like, all right, I'm ignoring this.
Oh, man.
He's like, hey. And I was like, so I looked at him. He said, shout me out on Instagram, because he saw we had all these cameras, so he assumed.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, nah, I'm okay. And he said, how many followers you got? I said, hella. He's like, fuck your followers.
And then walked away?
And yeah, I walked away. So we're all laughing. And he's just still yelling at me like, fuck your followers, fuck you. And I was like, deep inside, I was like, I want to just yell. But I don't want to fight.
You want to get into like a yelling match.
Yeah, I would love to get in a shouting match with
it's
somebody.
It's fun to yell. Yelling is really fun.
It is. I don't get to do it.
Do you remember that time Mackenzie and I were yelling at the old house all night and pissed everybody off?
Oh, that's why I can't live with you, Steve.
This history road comes from...
I love you, but I can't.
I get it, man. I'm a weird boy. This history road comes from Syed Kaiser Mumtaz, and the subject is History Road may contain Lille Cornish poo-poo. He says, I really don't know how to start these things, so I'm going to do it by saying, yes, there is a poop-related story in here, which haunts me to this very day, but before we get into it, I'd like to teach you boys how to pronounce my name so you can make fun of it. Okay. He writes, B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-B-T-dubs. I'm a listener all the way from Pakistan, if you can believe it. I've been a huge fan of both you guys for years. Especially you, Mr. Esteban Zorio Cookie. I've never heard that one.
All the way in Pakistan. That's incredible.
Really, that's awesome. The reach of the internet astounds me every day. And I'm really loving this podcast. Insert one honk, please. Of course.
Please. Please tell me what the best thing in Pakistan is.
I'd like to know, too.
I would really.
I'm going to visit someday.
What is it that people over there love?
My name is Kaiser. I hope I'm saying it right. So however you just pronounced it, you're wrong. Right? If you didn't say it wrong, I'd prefer you pretend to say it wrong so this whole bit doesn't make me idiot boy. You say the Kai part like ka part in California. Oh, ka, ka, ka.
I need to look up pictures of Pakistan so I know what it looks like.
Then the sir part like the word sir. Got it? No? Don't care? Perfect. So wait, let's try it now. Kasser.
Wow.
Yeah, Kasser. Wow. This man's name is Kasser. I was pronouncing it like the roll of bread the Jews love. Wow. Kaiser rolls. So when I was in second grade, our school uniform was a white polo shirt and blue knee-high shorts, which is that important in a poop story? Well, why is that important in a poop story? Beats me. So one time during class, I excused myself to the Lille Boys Corner. I had never gone turd town in at school before, so I was not aware of what was waiting for me. Will, you were a similar boy.
Yeah.
You didn't like pooping at work.
Oh, no. Yeah,
now
I
didn't, poop all
I had
the time
to
now?
It eventually, though. So I looked up Pakistan architecture, and it's on 10. So.
Oh, it's beautiful stuff. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I just, like, sometimes I don't want to do a vulnerable act like that in public.
I get it. It's very vulnerable. You can't do, you know, sometimes it's scary to poop because you can't escape if you need to.
You got to let your guard down.
Yeah, you got to let your guard down. Because if you're mid-poop, you can't just cut it in half and run out of there.
No.
You're going to have problems later. The school I went to was very small, probably about the size of a regular old house. So when I got to where I was told to go when I was first admitted into the school, which I hadn't seen till that moment, That was mostly because I knew how bad the bathroom would be. As told by many classmates, I was not one of those idiots that would go investigate a shit pile just because people said it was. I was one of those idiots that would go shit on the pile, but only when the shit was being a little more than persistent. It was a tiny closet type room, about 2 feet by 3 feet at the side of the outside of the building. And as I, a sensitive boy of seven, approached the rusted sheet metal door, an intense wave of shit smell hit my face. Peeling back at least 5 layers of epidermal tissue off my now decomposing corpse boy face. It was a bad smell.
Is this the same person?
This is the same person.
What happened?
I opened the rusty door, and in it I saw the one type of toilet that I had feared. Yes, people are afraid of toilets sometimes. It was a squat toilet. Oh, man, I've heard of these toilets, man. Will, you heard of these squat toilets?
No.
They're literally like a hole in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to, like, squat over it?
Yeah.
You can go ahead and look that up. And I wasn't comfortable with spreading my baby cheeks to shit, specifically because the squat toilet, which are made of white porcelain, was completely brown. It was covered in shit. And it wasn't just brown. There were little sprinkles of green, black, and yellow in there, too. I don't like this story.
Why is this an email?
I was not going to shit on that. No way.
I feel so good about life right now, but what the fuck is going on?
Our lives are not hard. I stood in the doorway, filled up to my sphincter and Hot Pops turds, trademark. But I just couldn't. I backed away and started my way back to the classroom. I was in a bad situation because I really had to poop. I got about 3 feet away from the door when two things happened. One, a student went past me into the bathroom. Two, I realized that I underestimated how bad I had to shit. I got a further 5 feet away from the door and felt a whole turd slide out of my body onto the concrete pavement. I was wearing shorts, as I previously mentioned, so it slid right out of the shorts. It was yellow with chunks of corn. Hence the subject of this history road. I wasn't healthy. I wasn't a healthy boy, probably. Yeah. That explains why I couldn't hold it in, perhaps. I stood there for a bit and just walked it off, left the poop where it was, and I literally just left. My 7-year-old brain didn't know what to do. I was stopped a few seconds later by a teacher who asked me sternly, "Who did this?" pointing to where the poop was. I saw the kid that went into the bathroom come out of the godforsaken shitty stall, and I pointed at him. She rushed toward the kid. "You ratted on that poor kid." And I stood there for a moment when I realized that had worked. I turned around as she was checking him for poop and began to walk away again. I took a step and I felt a hand grip my shoulder. The teacher turned me around and said, "He didn't poop there." And I was scared shitless. Wink, wink. Honk, honk. She took a moment to notice a little bit of poop on my leg, which I myself had not even noticed. And she went, wait on a minute here, and then said, "You're the one who pooped." To which I said, with a taken aback inflection, She then had me cleaned off and gave me spare shorts that they had at the school, because apparently this happens more often than one would hope, and not nearly enough as one would want it to. I was taken back to the class, and my actual teacher made an announcement to the class saying, "If you kids want to go to the bathroom, make sure you ask to go well before then when you think you actually need to." I was then seated, and everyone knew I pooped because of the spare shorts I was wearing, since they were just regular shorts and not uniform ones, so everyone knew I pooped myself, and everyone was paying attention to it, and me, which my anxious 7-year-old self did not want. That was as good as my schooling experience got, till I got to uni. By then it mellowed out. Moral of the story, don't install squat toilets. And also, if you're going to install squat toilets, try to shit into them and not on them. That was my history road. I hope you guys read it and enjoy it as much as I don't. I love the podcast. Can't wait to see it grow and be put into other formats as well. Later. Oh shit, I forgot the pronunciation. Later. Kassar? Kassar.
Shout out to Pakistan.
Thank you, Kassar. That's awesome, man. What a good story. I'm disgusted. You're fucking disgusting. And thank you for sharing that disgusting, awful story.
I got to go to some of these places in Pakistan. That would change my life.
Well, that was History Road, bitches. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. History. That's definitely history. history wrote.
I like that Owen maintains the continuity of off-key music tracks that we play, and off-sync music tracks.
There's an art to being bad.
There is an art to being bad, and yeah. I appreciate it.
A lot of people don't know. Like, you see shit on TV that's like, oh, they're doing this bad. But some people, like Tim and Eric, are genius
at
doing stuff bad. Oh, yeah,
they're great. Will.
Yeah.
Where can people find your stuff? Well, first of all, thanks for doing this,
man.
Oh,
no problem.
You really stepped in when really nobody else could. Like, I literally hit up. You were the last person I wanted on the podcast and literally the last person I reached out to. I'm just
so
kidding.
Glad,
that's not true.
I know.
I tried to get people on, and everyone was busy, and they couldn't do it during the day, and this week is crazy, and it's literally Thursday night, and this goes up today.
Does it really?
It goes up Friday, which is today. For you guys listening, you don't even know the shit I had to go through to put this up for you. But Will, thanks for coming and saving my skin.
I'm so glad to be here. You know, you're one of my best friends, so like, I'll do anything you need me to do.
Thanks, man. I knew you would, and I couldn't wait to do this. And one day soon, we'll have you on with Mike so the three of us can be on the show together. Normally, we have
He is also one of the people I love and need. It's okay to need people, right?
Yeah, Mike is just, he's a different kind of guy, man. He's so good and nice and sweet, and he has such a big heart. And he's just always willing to help you no matter what.
I remember when I was first.
That's a valuable thing to have in a friend.
Like, in my first, like, few months of making music, like, I would just always send him my, like, my songs, and he would tell me what he thought. And, like, you know, when you first start making shit, it's gonna be garbage.
Oh, yeah.
So Falzone has heard all my garbage.
And does he, like, give it to you straight?
Yeah, he's like, you know, man.
That's what he's best at. Yeah. He's best at just giving it to you straight. I think either he's always been that way, or he learned it from Zoya, because Zoya will just fucking straight up tell you.
Yeah, she keeps it real with him, and that's the thing is having a person who loves you and that will tell you the truth, and that's something Owen has with you too. It's like you can't buy that.
It's precious. If you have people in your life that tell you like it is, and it hurts and it sucks and you don't like it, really you should keep those people in your life, because you can't just surround yourself with yes men and people that will always agree with everything you say. You need conflict. You need people. You need challenge. You need people challenging your way of thinking.
Yeah, and it's hard sometimes. And you got to know what type of challenging you is good. And once again, like I said, I have a lot of people that I go to for specific things. Some people don't know shit about some stuff, and they'll tell you their opinion on it.
Oh, yeah.
You got to avoid those people.
Yeah.
You got to know who to go to for what things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Block out all the haters with those spoons on your eyeballs.
I realize that later.
All right. Well, fuck. Thanks for doing this, Will, and thanks to everybody for listening to Dynamic Banter. And Mike will be back next week, and then we'll have a bunch of shit to talk about. I want to talk all about his honeymoon. I want to know the sexual details of his escapades with his beautiful bride.
Like, is she like, what happened?
Yeah. Like, who's is she a top? Is she a bottom? Is he a top? Is she a bottom?
I feel like
He a bottom?
I feel like Falzone is a bottom. He has back problems.
He might be a bottom. You're right. He does have back problems.
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, if you want to submit your history roads, you can do so at dynamicbanter@gmail.com, or you can send us some cute little shits or whatever you want to send us on Twitter at dynamicbanter. And we have a Dynamic Banter Instagram account. That's right, Dynamic Banter on Instagram. And guys, we've been featuring your guys' awesome artwork
I'm
and
so
photos.
Happy right now.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're happy.
Thank you so much, Steve. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too, man. Thanks for doing this. You know, a lot of you have got the Dynamic Banter t-shirts that we sold. You guys have been tagging us on Instagram, and we've been posting you guys fan appreciation on the Dynamic Banter Instagram page. So keep doing that. We got some real cool art on the Instagram page now that someone sent to me today that I'm going to feature on there next. And then, yeah, just keep tagging us. Tag Dynamic Banter on Instagram with whatever weird Dynamic Banter-related stuff you want, and maybe you will be featured on our Instagram page. How cool is that? All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you, Will, our guest, for doing this. Will, you want to plug something?
Oh, yeah. You can see me, of course, on youtube.com/WilliamHainesTV. I make a lot of music videos and things, and a lot of upcoming stuff that we're starting to work on right now. So, you know, cool shit, as well as People Be Like. And you can listen to my new mixtape, The Rise, on Spotify, iTunes Music, all that Apple Music, you know, SoundCloud, download it for free.
Is it on Spotify?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah.
Nice work, Will. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for coming, and thanks for listening, guys. And we'll catch you next time on Dynamic Banter.
He told me to get out of his life forever.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.